his plans. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to, as the song says, and you heard Chris, hope is alive, because hope is alive, and we welcome you here. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Richard and Chris. Great to be with you again.
We thank you guys for joining us, and I'll keep an eye on the phone lines. I know we've got a couple scheduled to call in, and so we'll sure let you know when they do.
Appreciate it. Yeah, well, it'll be another good evening. We've got some really interesting testimonies and experiences getting ready to call in. You know, it really helps to see the supernatural. It's easier to believe when you've seen it. I know we're supposed to believe first, according to the scriptures, and then we'll see it. But when you do see it, it's definitely easier to believe. And I've seen 38 years now of the supernatural, and it's, you know, once you've tasted it, you want to see more.
Well, how did Monday night go?
Well, it actually, I was not there this last Monday. I've been out of town. Jim Waldrop did what I usually do there in Oklahoma City, and the introduction, the teaching introduction, the door closing prayer. I understand we had 12 cases and plenty of ministers, so we had good one-on-one. If anything should happen to me, the ministry is set up to perpetuate itself and to keep going. The need is huge, and the workers are few, so it is exciting to know that it'll keep going, because there's people everywhere around us, it seems, that need help, that have problem areas that they've never thought that might have something spiritual behind it. And it's such great news to discover that, because in Jesus' name, yes, we can do something about it.
Doesn't the Bible say that the fields are ripe and the laborers are few?
Amen. And the fields are definitely ripe.
They're probably riper than we've seen them in many years.
Yes. And I think people, more Christians, are learning about this works of Jesus called deliverance, the actual casting out of evil spirits. It's becoming more commonplace than ever because of, well, the electronic media that we have available to us today. The word is getting spread, and that there are answers and problems in Christians' lives that they, again, never realized might be something spiritual. So it is becoming more well-known, and we're continuing to try to boost that thinking, of course, on the show tonight.
Well, you know, in Luke 10:2, Jesus says, "The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into the harvest." And what I would like to see is people out there take a proactive stance against these demons. You know, I brought up scripture last week that he's an adversary, but we're supposed to resist him, so he becomes our adversary, and we become an adversary to him. And I would like to see people take your book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, and go to your website also and start listening and seeing how you've handled these cases and how you walk through with people, so that they can begin, first, deliverance in their own families. Because as you have testified since I've met you, that the average Christian has 36 unclean spirits that they may have to deal with. And certainly that's the place to start, because if you have those hindering you in your ministry, then your ministry is far less than what Jesus Christ would want it to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it is exciting to have a part in it that is very fulfilling. All of the ministers that are doing this, we are constantly amazed that God will use little us. It doesn't take some special gift thing. I'm just a very normal Christian myself, and so are the ministers that help me that have gone through our training. All Christians can learn to cast out evil spirits and to heal the sick. It is normal Christianity, but I never knew anything about it until age 44, and I was typical of most of the Christians out there. I was so blessed that somebody did share with me, and I was curious about it to see if it was real, that there really could be evil spirits doing all kinds of things, even in Christians' lives. Not that Christians can be possessed, but we can be tormented in the body area and the soul area, mind, will, emotion part of us. So it is a great thing to get hold of and to learn about, and I'm hoping there are people listening that will seek out. They can go to our website at deliveranceusa.com, deliveranceusa.com, and there's all kinds of information on there, including 4 hours of video teaching and deliverance and ministry. We're getting reports even from other countries where people are going through that, called self-ministry on the webpage, and they're going through it and getting relief, and we're getting messages of how it's helped people. But one-on-one is our preferred, but it's not possible when someone's in another country. It's not likely they'll come here, but one-on-one is the best, because we can focus, we can dig, and, it's just a better situation for ministry. It still takes, though, 4 or 5 hours, typically what we spend with people on Monday nights from 5:30 to around 10:30. But imagine a Jesus overhaul in one evening and seeing about 36 problem areas disappear in a person's life. That in itself is quite a miracle.
Well, I'm so impressed with what I've witnessed. And I remember that lady we were interviewing one night that had been in and out of institutions for most of her life, and she was 60 years old. I think she was 63, 64 at that point. And one evening, she was set free. She was in her right frame of mind. and she praised and worshiped Jesus as she was never able to before. That is amazing.
Yes, and that's doing the works of Jesus. As Jesus ministered to those same kind of people, we are instructed in John 14:12 to do his same works in his name, and we're able to. That's amazing. Still, most exciting. Praise God.
What people need to understand, too, you may not be hindered by Satan so much that you're in an institution, but if you are hindered in any area at all, maybe you're hindered from praying, maybe you're hindered from studying the Bible, or I think you've even mentioned people that could not remember Bible verses until they had that spirit cast out of them. You know, what is it? Because Satan, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And the best way to kill and steal and destroy your family and you is to keep you from embracing the Word of God and walking in the path that the Lord Jesus would have you walk in, and to keep you from walking in that liberty. Can you touch on maybe some of the smaller things that you've seen people delivered from? We want to talk about the grandiose things, but what about the little ones that have really changed their life in an impactful way?
Well, you mentioned the mental institution. Immediately came to thought the young man that Boone and I ministered to. He was Monday before last when I was in town, and he was 28 years old, had just gotten out of a mental institution, and was, of course, and he was on drugs from there, but he was a little bit like a zombie. Probably mostly from the drugs, but we went through the process, and he definitely looked better and was more comprehensive, I think, than when he came in. I have not had a chance to talk to him yet because I left his phone number before I went out of town in my notes back at the office, and so I haven't had a chance to call him yet, but, you know, we cast out the usual 36 spirits, perhaps more, and there's no way that he wouldn't be better again. Those spirits are not there for your health, as we so often say. And you already mentioned they come to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. So, you know, he's got to be better in a position to really go forward in life. So it'll be interesting to follow up. But yes, we see a lot of minor things that you wouldn't imagine. For example, there's a spirit of tiredness that we run into quite a bit, and especially one named old and tired. And we have found it even in young people. I'll never forget, I ministered to a lady in my some ministry office some years back. She was an attorney, 35 years old. Her husband was sitting there also. And this, she had, among different things she had complained about, one of them was that she had no energy. She was not really able to do her law practice. She had a 3-year-old daughter that she could hardly had enough strength to see after and take care of. And she had come for ministry, and I was able to flush up a spirit to talk right out of her mouth. The demon's name was Old and Tired. And this demon was manifesting and started hurting her in her stomach area. She was actually bent over my table there where we minister. Her husband had big eyes watching this. Anyway, it finally came out. And we got other spirits out as well. But she, I did a radio interview with her in the show. I did a radio show in Oklahoma City 22 years. 5 days a week, and I interviewed her on one of those shows, and I still have the recording. But she had so much energy after that. She commented how she went home, she cleaned the house, did all kinds of things she hadn't been able to do. But what was amazing about that was it was a couple of weeks later, her little 3-year-old came in one morning, and she said, Mommy, I feel real tired. And this woman, her name is Carrie, she thought, you don't suppose that old and tired spirit could be in my child? so in a very conversational voice, she said to her child, "Spirit of old and tired, are you there?" And their little girl suddenly said, "Mommy, my tummy hurts." Well, that's exactly what happened to Carrie in her ministry. So she started coming against this spirit of old and tired in her little three-year-old. And as it came up, she had this huge yawn, as she reported, and it was out. And then she was energized and never had that tiredness thing again in the mornings like she'd had. So that's it can even be generational. We run into a lot of generational spirits. People often say, "Well, you're just like your dad or just like your mom." And who would have thought that those could be generational curses, that again, in Jesus' name, those negative kind of things that they're talking about can actually be those curses broken and the demons of the curses cast out. So well, there's all kinds of stuff going on out there that seems minor, but it's pretty major to the person.
Amen.
Can you speak to the... Richard, were you going to say something?
Yeah, we've got our caller, or a caller. I haven't had a chance to talk yet, but let's bring him on if that's all right. Hey, good evening.
Works.
Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much. My pleasure.
Is that you, Gerald?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
All right. Well,
can
thank
you hear me
you
okay?
Calling in. Yes, you might back off from the phone just a little bit. But, yeah, thank you for calling, and I'd ask Gerald to call. Gerald's one of our team leaders, has been on the show before, but he's had some recent very interesting experiences in exorcisms that I thought might be interesting to relate. So, Gerald, why don't you just kind of go after it there and talk about some of your recent cases.
Well, thank you, Everett. I just every week, all of us that get to be involved in the ministry and see what the Lord is going to do are just blessed. We, you know, and every time that I sit down with a man or a woman, I make sure to point out to them this is your time with the Lord. This is His ministry to you. This is the Holy Spirit's ministry in your life, and He's brought you here for a reason. And we're going to make sure we do everything we can to make sure He has His way here. And we just we stop at that point and pray and commit this time to Him and yield ourselves to Him. And it's just wonderful to, as you and I know, it's just wonderful to see how the Lord proves Himself every time. And in recent weeks, you know, I think I've gotten more excited about the Lord's faithfulness than I ever have. And for many reasons, you know, for what I've seen Him do in other people's lives and what I've seen Him do in my own life, my wife's life, and one of the ladies that came to the ministry several weeks ago now, I'm not sure how many weeks ago it was, but one of the ladies, and I don't want to share her name right now, when she came, I was asked if I would pray with this young man. And she had a lady friend who had brought her, and we had some visitors from out of town that were sitting in on the ministry that wanted to join in. And so there was a gentleman that sat in, and then there was this lady that brought this young lady from another town in Oklahoma. They had driven quite a ways, you know, an hour and a half or so that night. So it was quite a commitment on the part of both ladies. But and of course, many people come from much further away. But at any rate, this girl, this young man turned out to be a lady. And the only reason anyone thought she was a young man is because of the way she was dressed. You just couldn't tell. She was a little overweight, and she had guys' clothes on, and, you know, just, she had her ball cap on backwards, and then, anyway, when we were introduced and everything, I realized her name was a girl's name. And, you know, the only reason I'm bringing up this young lady is because of what the Lord did that night. And it was difficult for her. It was very difficult. She struggled right from the beginning. Actually, she wanted to leave. And I tried to reassure her that that was just the enemy that was causing that reaction in her, but that, and I was trying to reassure her that God had brought her there for a reason, and that it was going to be okay, that he wanted to help her. And the rest of the night proved that to her. But it was a struggle. It was a very, you know, a very intense struggle because of this girl's background. And like I heard you saying when I called in about the generational things ever, you know, this poor girl had, you know, I don't know all of her background, but I just know that, well, she had a terrible background as a child, you know, and as a child she was exposed to much evil, and I just hate that because, you know, it's like this lady that came this past week, and as a child she was exposed to satanic stuff in her family. She had evil in her family. I mean, she had grandparents and parents and such that exposed her to very satanic stuff, and a child does not know how to process that in their mind. It just, they don't know how, because they're just not old enough and mature enough. They're not, and so with this lady, and then with the lady this week, you know, the enemy took advantage of the opportunity to try to steal these children's lives that Christ had planned for them, and so. As the night progressed, or as we got started with this young lady, the enemy, the demons, were actually able to make her just go to sleep, it appears. And, of course, we've seen that before, and I tried to reassure everyone that who was sitting there, you know, that she can hear everything we're saying, but the enemy has overpowered her. So we, trying to figure out what the Holy Spirit told us to do, I felt led, and it's been a long time since I'd done this, but I felt led to just start reading Scripture. And I opened up God's Word to a psalm, one of the long psalms, I don't even remember which one it was, and I started reading. And as I was reading that psalm, and the enemy was kind of manifesting a little bit in her, and eventually the Lord showed me a couple of things, and she woke up, you know, as we broke the power of a couple of spirits that were causing her to sleep. Well, we made a little progress for a few minutes, and then she was back out again. And so the lady friend that had brought her, I asked her, as I remember, I just asked her to start reading in Revelation 17 out loud, just start reading it. And as she started reading that, then the Holy Spirit starts showing us how, you know, what to come against, which spirits were bond. And as we started reading, this girl started manifesting in many different ways. She was actually, you know, totally out, but her body started to have manifestations. And of course, we take authority over that and tell those things to go. And she wasn't harmed in any way, but... you know, later we found out that she was, when I anointed her, that she just was so angry. The demons had, you know, had just made her so angry, and she just wanted to rebel and wanted to fight against me, but she didn't and she couldn't. And again, that's just a testimony of the Lord's presence and the power of the Holy Spirit and the angels' presence, and of course we always take authority over those things. You know, every night takes authority over those spirits and calls upon the angels of God to be there to assist and to do battle against the enemy. And so, but in her mind and in her body, she was feeling terrible things and thinking terrible things, and
the angels.
Beg your pardon. And so, yeah, the angels were present. And she had actually seen, in the beginning, she had actually seen many spirits of darkness there. She saw them, and she told me they were there with her, you know, in our presence. And she heard voices. That was the other thing. It was just so... tormenting. She said for a year she had not been able to sleep because of these voices, and so that was a factor. During the evening, you know, is all of the voices, and they were speaking through her, and it was hard on her. It was very difficult for her until we got to that breakthrough point, but. As this lady was reading the word from Revelation, I just had her keep reading it aloud until she got to the end of the book. And but as she was reading it, the word was showing us which spirits to come against. So the whole time that she was reading, we had commanded those spirits to listen to God's word and be weakened by that and to be silent. And the Holy Spirit was showing us which spirits to come against, and they started leaving her and eventually, she came out of that sleep again, and we were able to. She was actually able at that point to start telling these things herself to go. Up to that point, she was wanting me to go. She just didn't have the spiritual strength to that point. But by this time, the Holy Spirit had given her the strength herself to start taking authority over these things. And at a certain point in time in this, she heard the voices stop. That was what was, to her, just so wonderful. It was the first time all night long that you could see her countenance change, and all of a sudden she smiles and she said the voices stopped. You know, they just stopped.
Praise God.
And And since that time, we stayed in touch with her, and she stays in touch with us. And since that time, she's done so well at just staying focused on the Lord. She's quite the intercessor herself and prayer warrior. And that night was, you know, just a blessing for everyone there, because we got to see God break into a life and fulfill His promises. And And hopefully she can come on the program very soon and share her part. I'm sure my version of it is totally different from her version, but I want her to share her past and how God has worked in her life through the ministry of deliverance. And and the sad thing is that, you know, to me is, and we talk about this all the time, is that how many years some people have to live with this because they just don't know where to go for help. You know, there's just they can be churchgoers. And you know, I was just talking with a friend tonight that is a churchgoer and is in total bondage, you know, to so many things that the enemy oppresses with, and it's because you know, we just don't know. I mean, we just don't know in the church well enough how to deal with the enemy. And anyway, this girl,
you know, Gerald, even in the deliverance circles, those that have had witchcraft backgrounds or Satanism involvement typically are the tougher cases. So there was a lot of walls to pull down there to get her to the point of getting freedom. But praise God, that's a great report, and exciting to hear how someone can change. And that was done in one evening.
Yeah,
praise God.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what the Lord will do, you know, with the person who is willing, you know, to just let him have his way, you know.
And even though the enemy tried to block her by just taking her out, like under the power, the demonic power, you guys were able to break through and get her to the surface and go for it. That's awesome. Well, how long have you been a deliverance minister now, Gerald? You've been at this quite a while.
Well, quite a while. I wish it had been longer, but yeah. My first friend, he started teaching me about deliverance, and then we came to your ministry. Right after that, because of course in Oklahoma City you're known well by everyone who does ministry. In the late 80s and early 90s, you know, it's when I first started learning about deliverance. Got acquainted with your ministry too. But and you know, the other night, I was so grateful that I had my first training, as I had with a lady that actually at the time we were ministering to those who were coming out of the occult. It was mostly young ladies that were getting saved and coming out of the Wicca and the other, you know, the other satanic type of groups. And so with the lady that came this last week, she had been exposed to that type of abuse as a little girl. And so just knowing, you know, the evil that really, you know, so many people just really don't want to think about the reality of the satanic stuff, but it's a reality, and we need to accept the fact that it is a reality and be prepared, you know, be prepared to minister to these folks.
Yes, a Christian that is does not understand the demonic is very vulnerable to the demonic. And as Chris read earlier, James 4:7, that where we read, "We're submit ourselves to God and then resist the devil and he'll flee." Most Christians don't notice to resist anything. And they don't even know about the war, and I can say that because I was one of them from age 13 to 44 myself. And I had to see the actual reality of demons talking out of Christians' mouths for it to soak in that the demons are even bothering Christians. In fact, as I've learned, ultimately, Christians are the targets, in fact. Satan wants to particularly take Christians out because we're shared Jesus.
Well, Gerald, this girl, this is Chris, Gerald, this girl, you said last I spoke with you, she's been texting you scripture, and she is completely turned around and set free, and she's still doing well?
She is doing so well, and I'm so proud of her. I am so proud of her, you know, because I just appreciate her faith, and, you know, that is... It's just a blessing, you know, to know someone who will just grab hold of the Lord's truth and cling to Him and trust Him and stand firm in their faith. And like Everett was saying, just draw near to God and He will draw near to you, and resist the devil and he will flee. And it gets about as simple as that sometimes.
Well, amen. Well, Gerald, thank you for being on the program with us. Our next caller is on the line. And any closing remarks before you go?
Oh, no. I just thank the Lord for Everett and ministry, our opportunity to help a few. God bless you, Chris.
Thank you.
We're good.
Appreciate it. God bless you, Gerald.
Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
And let's bring our next caller on. Good evening, caller. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Hello. This is Ken. Am I on?
Yes, Ken. Welcome to the program.
Oh,
yes. Hi, Ken. Thanks for calling.
I was just wanting to chat with Everett for a little bit and kind of give a little testimony for what He's done in my life through prayer. Everett, you know who I am,
yeah,
don't
Ken?
You?
Well, sure, and go right ahead, Ken, and go ahead and share whatever you'd like to, so go ahead.
Well, first of all, I have a little bit of background with Everett. He happens to be my father-in-law. I'm married to his daughter, and about 25 years now. And I just wanted to share an experience that we had together about 13 or so years ago. Everett, just for starters, anybody that listens to the show probably and friends of his knows how he is always on board with wanting to help and pray for all of his friends, or even people that naturally doesn't know and never has met. But about 13 years ago, Everett, I don't know if you remember how long ago it was, but you wanted to pray for me. At the time, I've had a back situation where my back would go out probably 4 or 5 times a year, severe pain. Never really diagnosed, except that the medical field wanted to operate. I never would do that, and I found a chiropractor that worked really pretty good, for probably the time I was 23 until, 61. So I guess, Everett, it was about whenever I was probably 56, maybe, 57. So I had this chronic back situation where my back would go out for, 30 years or so. I was in the Marine Corps. I don't think that had anything to do with it. It seemed to start doing its thing, in my early 20s. But anyway, the chiropractor would work on me, and I would crawl into the chiropractor's office and ended up being in pretty good shape after 2 or 3 days. But when I meant crawling in, I would be in such pain. And so one Thanksgiving, 13 years ago, we were heading over to Pops, which is Everett's, and I told Marla, I said, you know, honey, I'm not really sure I want to go today because your dad's going to want to pray for me, and, you know, I just really don't want to, you know, just go through that. There's going to be people over there, so on and so forth. And so she got pretty upset with me and said, honey, you're going. You know, my dad, all he ever wants to do is just, you know, he wants the best for you and take care of you. And if you need prayer, he wants to pray for you. So whether it was my faith or whatever it may be that, you know, whether God wanted to heal me at the time or not, you know, it was way out in left field. It wasn't something that I thought could ever happen for me. But anyway, long short of it, we went over there. It was in the morning, and sure enough, I was severe pain. It had been that way for about 3 days at the time. Barely could get out of bed. My back was so bad that it would, my hips would be disjointed and my body alignment would be out because I guess the nerve was pressing so bad on it. And anyway, walk in and do some small talk. There's a bunch of people in the house, relatives and such. Everett said, Ken, how are you? How's your back doing? And I said, it's pretty bad shape. And he said, well, come on in here. So he brings me into his study at the time, or it may have been his dining room, and it's just him and I. We sit down in a chair. I sit in a chair right across from him. And he said, here, I want you to put your feet up on my lap. And so he goes, and he looks at my legs, and this is, I think, something that he does quite a bit with some of his clients. But he said, Ken, it looks like, you know, one of your legs is a little bit shorter than another, so on and so forth. And I was kind of like, well, yeah, you know, I'm not sure. But he goes, and Everett and I, before, we had been through, in past times that we had been together, he has taken me through through ministry, through inner healings, and so on and so forth, and really tried to get to the bottom of issues with different things in my past. And I thought we'd pretty much covered the bases, but that particular day, he goes, Ken, you know, we were talking, he goes, have you ever forgiven yourself? Truly forgiven yourself for things that you've done in the past? And I said, well, I don't know. I don't really know, Everett. And he goes, well, so anyway, long and short of it, he took me through a prayer. And I sincerely was, I believe, praying the best that I could to the Lord and asking for forgiveness for the things that or actually, you know, me forgiving myself. And I really felt like that I did that. And he goes, okay, now this is only going to take about, and we weren't in there, we hadn't even been in there 10 minutes. Usually some of the sessions that we've had together and some of the people that have been with him, you know, it's, you can be with him for an hour or two. This was about a 10-minute thing. It took me through some prayers. I, in my best abilities, forgave myself for lots of different things that, you know, had in my past. And he goes, okay, this is only going to take about 15 seconds, Ken. My feet were still in his lap, and took me through a little prayer. And mind you, at the moment I was in severe pain. Alignment was, I mean, my body, if I was to stand up and you were to look at my body, it was it was contorted. And so anyway, he said, in Jesus' name be healed. And everybody that's listening, I really want you guys to hear me. This isn't something that took place in a day or a week. I got to feeling better. In that instant, in that twinkling of an eye, that pain was gone. Whenever he said, in Jesus' name be healed. I've told this story countless times to friends. I've even had people with the same situation. I've even had Everett come over to either their home, or I brought them over for Everett to pray with these people. All of those situations, for whatever reason, at the time, the Lord chose not to heal them. And I still don't know to this day why he chose me. At that moment, the power of the Holy Spirit, power of Jesus Christ, came and visited me that morning on Thanksgiving Day. And I still don't know why I was chosen. I never really fully believed. I've heard of healings in Africa, people, you know, being the blind being healed and people being resurrected. And it was kind of one of those situations that it's so hard to believe in unseen spiritual things that, you know, I was just one of the people that maybe I just really wasn't sure that Jesus was still healing on this planet. Well, he does, and he did me, and I'm actually been watching the Olympics, and we all seen in Rio where the statue of Christ is on top of the mountain, and he's got his arms stretched out, and I thought that, you know, that Christ, our Lord, that figure came down in power and touched me and healed me, and he did it through Everett, and he did it through in Scripture. It says and I've often thought, well, you know, Everett was the vessel, but Everett was willing to do it. But the Scripture that comes to me the most is the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And that's how I feel about my pop. And I just wanted to share that on this program, and just let everybody know that this is real. Everett's real, and all of his cares about what he does with people all over the United States. And I was just I'm a byproduct of it, and I can't ever forget it. I have to pinch myself sometimes, and I'll go months without even thanking him for my healing, but something will maybe come up, and whenever it does, I'm thanking Christ for that moment. And by the way, I'm a carpenter by trade. I'm very physical. I play golf. It has never, ever, ever even thought about, I've never felt anything in my back. Ever. I've been totally healthy, totally, and like I said, it was in the twinkling of an eye. It wasn't something that happened in a week. It didn't happen in an hour. It happened in that split second, and I feel the exact same way I did then as I do now, and I'm 13 years later. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share, and hope it didn't wear everybody out.
Well, that's our Jesus, Ken. That's awesome testimony. And of course, there's a lesson there for all of us. Jesus said in Matthew 18:34 and 35 that if you don't forgive, which includes forgiving ourselves, even forgiving God if you blamed him for bad things that have happened in your life, not thinking about Satan pulling strings, but we were healed at the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus took our infirmities then, Matthew 8:17. But you were turned to the tormentors, as Jesus said, you'll be turned to the tormentors if you don't forgive, and you had turned yourself to the tormentors because you had never forgiven yourself. And so it was really an automatic thing. I've seen many people healed when they just finally do the forgiving of others that have hurt them, that have done them wrong, they think, as they finally just voice out, I forgive so-and-so, and I bless so-and-so, and just clean the slate out and all that, including forgiving themselves, and praise God, many get healed. And, of course, the laying on of hands is always a good follow-up on that, which, of course, we did. There's an interesting scripture in Luke 13:11, where Jesus cast the spirit of infirmity out, and he cast the spirit out, and then he also laid on of hands. And so that 1-2 punch is a good thing for all of us to do when we minister. Well, that was awesome, Ken, and I know that ministered to many people listening out there.
Well, I hope that it has, and I encourage everyone in the listening audience to just to know that I know, and the reason I guess that I was touched is that Jesus is still healing today. And
amen.
So, well,
that was a blessing. That was a blessing of a testimony. Can you tell us how it's affected the rest of your family, maybe on your side rather than, we know how your wife's side of the family feels about it.
Well,
because they saw you,
you know,
in this pain and agony all these years.
Everyone on my side of the family knows of it. I know that they don't think that I'm crazy. I know that they don't think that why would I say something to that effect with the, if it didn't have, they all know me. And so I'm sure it's had effect. To what degree? Oh my gosh, you know, I just don't know, but that's a good question, really, because I as far as following up with you know, all of my children, and my parents have both passed away. I know that they were touched whenever this happened. They were both alive during that time frame. I've even prayed for my father, had similar situations during his latter part of his years, and actually, I would pray for him, and then I'd also do some of the maneuvers that my chiropractor used to do for me. And as I was doing those, I would be praying, but hoping that, you know, the Lord would heal, but heal my father or whoever. But that's a good question. As far as following up, it's not something that we'd talk about on a daily basis or even during holidays, but they all know, and they all know me, and they know that I was touched, and I just, so whether it's been true, truly, you know, the faith being increased or not, you know, good question. And also too, I have a lot of crazy wild friends, and most, I'm sure most every one of them know the story and are aware of it. And whether or not that has, you know, encouraged them or anything like that, I'm going to say about half of them, I'm going to say no way. But the other half know Ken Howeth, and they believe that God came down and touched me. So anyway, once again, I want to encourage everybody that's listening, if anybody has any needs or my pop is he truly is a caring individual, and will you know, I'm not trying to, you know, the reason I called is I wanted to share my experience, but the only thing that I can think of, and the reason that this even happened, was that my father-in-law was willing to sit down with me and be the instrument, whatever the outcome. So,
well,
praise God.
Well, thank you, Ken. Sure appreciate you calling in. That was a wonderful testimony, and has to build faith in anyone that's listening.
Well, thank you, and I hope I haven't taken up too much of your all's time.
Oh, it's been beautiful. It's thank you. Yep.
Have a good one, Ken.
Okay. All righty. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Well, Pastor Cox, the scripture that's been with me all this week that I've been looking into and reading over and over is out of 2 Chronicles, and it's the story of Jehoshaphat and Ahab. And one of the things that Jehu, one of the prophets, went out to meet Jehoshaphat after he came down and he had helped Ahab go to a battle. Ahab was killed in that battle, but still, God sent a prophet to him saying, "Shouldest thou help the wicked and love them that hate Jehovah? For this thing wrath is upon thee from before Jehovah." Do you have any thoughts on that scripture? You know, we seem to have so many people out there helping the wicked, supporting the wicked, profiting the wicked. This Pokemon Go, and the wicked are just prospering. And our people are one of the reasons a lot of them are prospering. So it's got to vex our Lord And because it says here, for this thing, wrath is upon thee from before Jehovah.
And, you know, there's a certain number of people that actually make contracts with Satan that even in the entertainment field, they'll make a deal with Satan to prosper, but it winds up putting a curse on their family lines. And, of course, we run into those curses constantly. But there's so many people that follow... it's all around us. And Satan has not been passive. He's been very proactive and pushing all kinds of door openers that allow demons to come in to torment. Yes, even Christians and so many young people, like you mentioned, the Pokemon. And that's always been a door. It was demonic in origin, even before this Pokemon Go. But it's all demonic in background, and a door, as so many different things are out there that Satan uses. These games, Dungeons and Dragons was one of the games of years ago that before all the electronic activity, people used to get demonized by playing the Dungeons and Dragons. I think it is back still around electronically now for people to play, but it isn't just that. There's all kinds of stuff. Anything that promotes witchcraft will open a door where demons have a illegal right to come in and torment and harass, steal, kill, and destroy. So it's a matter of education. It's still back to Hosea 4:6, people perishing for lack of knowledge, and no telling where I would be had someone not shared 38 years ago with me. I didn't know anything about all this. Even though I was a Christian, no one had ever taught me anything about it and how we are to resist and come against stuff. So we're just so blessed that somebody shared, and I hope some of the listeners appreciate that, where they can start now really digging into it themselves. And of course, there's so many medias. I mean, we can go to Google and learn all kinds of things that points out the demonic.
Amen. Well, Pastor, we're running out of time, but I want to remind people about the website, deliveranceusa.com, and the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which is available from either the website or from this ministry. And I want you out there to pray and to start looking at what you can do, because the laborers are few and the field is ripe. We need people that are set free. We need people walking in the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ so we can fight this Babylonian system that is destroying our people. And we need people set free so they'll learn that they should not help the wicked and they shouldn't love them that hate Jehovah. That there's a price for that. And on the website it talks about door openers. And there's a lot of door openers that people have put in their lives. So thank you for being with us tonight. If you need anything, again, it's deliveranceusa.com. You can learn so much there. It's been a real blessing. And thank you again, Pastor Cox.
Thank you, and God bless you, brother.
Bless you, too.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. Strong when still recall that bright September.